Keep your Bibles open to the book of Jude, if you would. We'll be studying this text today, book of Jude. If you're visiting with us, we're really grateful you're here. We have several visiting with us this morning. Thankful for your interest in spiritual things. I'm just glad to be with you. This may sound strange. It's a beautiful day outside. I'm a fan of this kind of weather every now and then. But kind of day you almost want to stay in bed. But I'm glad you're here, and we get to be together worshiping the Lord and studying His Word. Jude is an odd book, and it's probably one of the most neglected books in all the Bible, and certainly in the New Testament. When is the last time you studied the book of Jude? And the last time you read the book of Jude, it may have been if you were doing one of those Bible reading programs, and you're reading through the whole Bible, and you read Jude, and you kind of get a break when you read Jude, because if you're reading two or three chapters a day to read the whole Bible, you get to Jude, and you've got one chapter, and it's so easy, it's so nice. That's probably one of the most, one of the biggest reasons it's neglected, is it's just kind of an odd book, and it's so short, you think, well, it's simple, how difficult can it be? It may also be neglected because it is a repetitive book. I'm not asking you to read this text on the screen by any means, but I do want to show you that Jude borrows or relates well to another book of the Bible. What I'm highlighting for you now is from the book of 2 Peter, and everything in red here on the screen is found either word for word or reflected in spirit, at least, in the book of 2 Peter. So you can find 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3 all within the book of Jude. And so you might think, well, what's going on here? Is Jude sort of copying and pasting from Peter, or is Peter copying and pasting from Jude? One thing that's interesting, in verse 4, in Jude 4, certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Look over at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. We'll come right back to Jude. But in 2 Peter 2 and verse 1, while Jude says that certain people have crept in, 2 Peter writes, false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. It may be that Peter says this is going to happen. It happened before. He's looking back to the Old Testament and to the Hebrews and all that they experienced and the apostasy that they went through. He's saying it happened then, it's going to happen in the future, and I see it coming. And Jude is saying that it has happened. And so it may be that Jude is saying, I need to remind you about these things, and maybe they're writing to the same audience. And Jude is just going to say, let me double down on what Peter has said. And so maybe that's another reason why Jude gets neglected, is it's not borrowed material, but it's a repetition of what's already been taught in 2 Peter. But maybe another reason that Jude is often neglected is because we need it. It's true, and it hurts. There's going to be some language in Jude that is really difficult. And in fact, if we were to say the kinds of things that Jude says, and we were to say them today, someone's bound to come along and grab you by the elbow and say, can we talk for just a second? You're being really harsh. Maybe you should be a little more gentle. Maybe you should be a little more sensitive. Maybe you should be more understanding. And Jude is going to just lay it down. And there's a reason for that. Now, we're going to come back to a point at the end where Jude does give some adaptability and some flexibility and helps us to be compassionate with people who are caught in false teaching. But he is going to have no kind of remorse for getting on to those who are spreading these lies. He's not going to back off. He's going to lay it down because it needs to be said. And sometimes this harsh kind of language is just not comfortable to read. It's not comfortable to hear, and it's not comfortable to say. Now, we'll say there are some of us maybe who find it really natural just to say what needs to be said and lay down the law and, you know, speak my mind about false teaching. And maybe there's some other books we should read if that's our idea. Jude is going to get on to us about that some. He says you need to be aware of different people and where they are. But I think probably more often, most of us find that we want to be, at least in this day and age, more gentle with false teaching. And we think surely most people deep down are honest. Most people deep down are really, they're well-meaning. They don't mean to hurt people. They're trying to pursue truth. Jude helps us to see there's something very, very different. So let's read through the whole book together. David got us started by reading toward the end. But let's read the whole book together. And then we'll come back and just pick out some things. We could spend a number of lessons in Jude. I plan just to give an overview here today because it's very important. So we won't be going into much detail, but let's get an overview just as we read. In Jude, beginning verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet, in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain, and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error, and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It's also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him." These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, "In the last time, there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen." Jude begins by saying, "Look, I really wanted to talk to you today about, but instead I'm going to talk to you today about this," which you think just from a public speaking standpoint or even a professional writing standpoint, you don't do that. You don't come along and say, "I'm going to write to you today," and that's what fourth graders do when they're writing an essay. "My essay about this such and such book is going to be about such and such book," or we say, "Today my," and we, you know. But Jude needs to explain, "I really wanted to talk to you about our fellowship. I wanted to talk to you about our common salvation, but I can't, because there's something much more necessary." Let me ask you, when it comes to the gospel, there are certain words maybe that come to mind. Mercy, grace, love, faith. And those are the things that we like to hear about, we like to talk about, and there's a lot of good in those concepts. They are instrumental, they are fundamental to our faith in Christ. That's what the gospel is about, but it's also about judgment. It's also about hell. It's about sin. It's about what God's going to do in his righteousness. And so sometimes we forget those things. And Jude needs to come back and explain that you need to fight. Yes, there's something common amongst us, and there's a salvation that we share. There's a fellowship that we have, and it was once for all delivered to the saints.